I want to talk to you today about 2011. Yes, this is my third 2011 message, and we're going to talk about 2011, a year in league with the Stones. This year is going to be an extraordinary year, and I have to underscore some principles to help you so that you will better be able to receive what God is doing this year. Because he's moving, the winds of change are blowing, and yet it's so important to know where you are in the mall of your life. You ever go to the mall and it says, you are here? Sometimes you have to have the you are here message, where you are in the map of the mall of your life. And sometimes it's good to know what's ahead just enough so that you can adjust yourself to flow with the season. And 2011 is going to be a year in league with the Stones. What am I talking about? Well, in Job 5:23, there's a verse. A man named Eliphaz is speaking, and he says, "For you shall have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you." Oh, isn't that a majestic word? It's a word about a time where everything flows in sync, where you literally are flowing with the fabric of God's universe, where you're going with the grain, where your ship finally hits the open water, where what you've been born to do finally lines up and that plane hits the runway and taxis all the way down, bang, takes off. Being in league with the stones, this is an imagery that shows a person in league with God and his universe, where you're flowing the right direction. Now, there's another verse that I've put a snippet of here in Luke 19:40. When the Lord Jesus was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Literally, it says children were throwing, in childlike zeal, throwing branches before Jesus, and they were shouting, "Praise you, Hosanna, you are the Son of God." And the religious leaders, of course, censored that childlikeness and said, "Stop them from worshiping you." And Jesus said, "If they're quiet, the very stones will cry out." Isn't it interesting that the worship of children and brute creation are able to be in harmony enough to flow enough with God that Jesus said, if those kids shut up, the elements are going to cry out in worship. This is a year where we're going to be in league with the stones. Now, first I'm going to lay down a principle of harmony, and then I'm going to lay down a principle of discord. Because this, what we're about to talk about, I think, will help you in your private life, in your private moral life, too, this year. Because did you know, first of all, let's take a look at the principle of harmony. The principle of harmony, we're talking about living in league with the stones. This principle underscores that every thought, word, and deed positively or negatively affects the fabric of God's universe. Now, it does matter that you live a righteous life. As Eliphaz is saying in Job chapter 5, when you live, when your thoughts and your words and your deeds are flowing in sync with God, righteousness, then you're in league with the very creation of God. Everything flows. You're in league with the flower of the field. You're in league with the stars and their courses. What an amazing thought. There is a harmony and a flow. Now, did you know all truth is God's truth? You want to learn that one? That'll help you along in your Christian life. All truth is God's truth. If a donkey brays it at midnight in a tin barn, it's God's truth. If the devil says 2 + 2 = 4, it's God's truth. Okay? So you need to have the sense of an old cow and eat the hay and spit out the sticks. You can learn from everybody. These Christians, we are so freaky looking. We're always running with our Bibles, screaming and locking ourselves in the chicken coop. You know, oh, the world, oh, the media. We do not need to be afraid. Christ is the truth and the way and the life, and we represent his people. And you know what? I'm an old cow. I can eat hay and I can spit out sticks. I can learn from everyone, even if it's how never to be. David learned how not to be king living with Saul. Moses learned how not to be a leader being raised by Pharaoh. You don't have to judge somebody. You just have to say to yourself, you know, that's not, others may, I may not. That's not how I'm going to be king. You don't need to say, can you believe such a nasty king doing such? No, you don't need to do that. You don't need to curse your own life and somebody else's. You just sort of make a mental note, I'm going to learn from everybody, even if it's how never to be. Now you have no excuse not to learn from mama or daddy or your nasty family or anybody else. You just learn how not to be nasty, right? So we just need to look at it right this year, right? So the children are worshiping. Now, here's the harmony principle. Every word, thought, and deed. You know, people say, oh, does it really matter what I do when I'm alone? I mean, gosh, you Christians, you're just so, I mean, what's the big, you know what? A secret history with God is important. Because our words, thoughts, and deeds are either flowing with righteousness, and that affects the very fabric of the universe. Now, there are other religious perspectives that teach a similar principle, whether it's a yin-yang principle, whether it's an energy principle, whether people are talking about karmic concepts of sowing and reaping and so on. But I want you just to hear the grain of truth at base in all of it. All truth is God's truth, and God says when you speak righteously, think righteously, and act righteously, it puts you in the flow in a way. You're beginning with your private history with God, taking it all the way up to the very elements being affected. Now, isn't that interesting? That's another way to look at it. Some young people were asking me, you know, Pastor Craig, you know, I've never seen Pastor Craig. We just had a few questions. We were just curious. What does the Bible say about, I don't know, you know, above the neck, below the neck, you know, we're engaged, we're going to be married. What's, you know, and I said, I felt like Abraham Lincoln. That reminds me of a story. You know, what if a guy said, I've got a brand new Ferrari, Craig, and I want to know exactly how fast I can go going around Canaan before I roll off in flames to my death? Well, Mama used to say, if it's doubtful, chances are it's dirty. You know, apply that principle. If you're asking me how fast can I go 61 miles an hour or 72 miles an hour before I careen over the side to my death? Well, you know what? That's probably an area where you need to look at your secret history with God and know if it's doubtful, chances are it's dirty, and make a choice that your thoughts, words, and actions are going to flow with righteousness, and therefore you're going to go with the flow of harmony, and you're going to see God bless every part of your life, spiritually, soulishly, financially, physically, relationally. Every blessing God wants to pour out is a blessing we've got to get in sync with this year, all right? So quit asking silly questions when you already have the answer. When most people ask for counsel, they're looking for an accomplice. No, I'm looking for counsel. 9 times out of 10, they already know the answer. They already know what they've already decided, and they're bringing it to you for a rubber stamp. Make them feel better, would you? You know, I was wondering what you think about that. No, you're not. You want an accomplice. You want someone to go, here, here's a rubber stamp. There we go. You know, okay, next. I'm reminded in the Bible of the story of Abraham. He tried to fulfill God's promise and did it his way. And instead of his wife Sarah, he sleeps with Hagar, and Ishmael is born. And the Bible keeps saying Abraham keeps dragging Ishmael before the Lord and saying, Lord, that thou wilt bless Ishmael. You know what? God won't bless the work of our hands. He'll bless the work of his hands. And so he said, no, you can drag Ishmael up here in a dress. You can drag Ishmael up here, you know. I was just wondering, shave his head, bring him in, make him look like somebody. God knows Ishmael and won't bless Ishmael. He will only bless Isaac. So he kept telling Abraham, you know, Isaac, sorry, you know, I've got my, I wonder if you've met my son before. You know, you just put a hairpiece on him. It's Ishmael. No, no. No matter how you bring Ishmael in the house, through the window, up the elevator, drop him down through the ceiling, God will not bless the thing we've birthed in the flesh. He just won't, because he loves us too much to permanentize a situation or a relationship that's going to kill us in the long run. Well, that's another message. But let's get back to where I was. Now the harmony principle is, now notice, every word, thought, and deed, personally, but next, in our life patterns, how we habitually live our life. If we're living our life in righteousness, we're going with the flow, we're in league with the stones, everything begins to work out in the long run. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have setbacks. Doesn't mean you're not going to have moments where it looks like things aren't fruitful, but you know, in the long term, flowing with the stones and obeying God in righteousness in our word, thoughts, and deeds, in our life patterns, that means our daily doing right. It matters that you daily do right. Everybody at the office is watching you. If you doubt it, just screw up one time. And they all let you know. You stole a paperclip and you call yourself a Christian? Why, the Bible said, you know, everybody becomes a theologian at the point that you screw up. Have you noticed that? They don't know anything about God from a stump until you sin as a Christian. Then immediately they become a PhD in sinology, right? I believe you just violated Leviticus chapter 17. You're going, what? You don't even know what the Bible is. But listen, everyone's watching our words, thoughts, and deeds. Everyone's watching our life patterns. And third, our life paths. You know what? When you're flowing in the right niche where you belong, you're in league with the stones. You're in the flow. You're in agreement with God and his creation. Everything's going to rise up and applaud you. I heard one wonderful man of God said, this year is a year where when we find the path we're to walk on, the fat is going to drip on the path. That means the blessing and the favor of God is there to drip on the path when we are walking and flowing where we belong. Sometimes we are flowing somewhere else, and there's a sewage backup. You know, I'm wondering what's wrong here. You know, it's terrible. Have you ever seen your house been underwater, or you had water up to your knees? It's a terrible thing when water begins to come in, and when sewage water begins to come into our lives, and it begins to settle, and it causes all kinds of problems. But here's the first principle. Good news is, this is a year where we are going to flow in righteousness in our words, our thoughts, our deeds, our life patterns, and our life choices. And the path that God set us on, that's what we're going to flow with. You know, there's a verse in Jeremiah 6:16 that says, return to the path, to the ways of old, and there you will find rest for your soul. You know, sometimes if you feel distant from God, guess who moved? It's a bumper sticker I keep running into all the time. Thomas Aquinas used to say, if I move from the right side of the pillar to the left side of the pillar, did the pillar change? No, I changed in relationship to the pillar. And you know, this is a year where we have to realize that the Lord is wanting to bless us this year. But he wants us to get in sync with him and go with the flow. And you know what? It's going to be that quick. That quick things can turn around. That quick God will start letting the light shine upon your ways. That quick things will turn around. And that's what this year is for. So we need to realize that we are not at the mercy of aimless forces. And here's our harmony example. Children. Isn't it something that when Jesus wants to teach something about the kingdom, he points to childlikeness. Not childishness. That's different. Childishness is immaturity and something that will burn your life down and everybody else's life down. But childlikeness is the image of these little children throwing palm branches before Jesus, worshiping him. They're in sync with the they're in league with the stones. They're in sync with the harmony of the universe. They're flowing with God. And Jesus said, when you see little children worshiping, that's my kingdom in a snapshot. Now, isn't it something? When Jesus wanted to display what heaven is like, it says he took a child. You see that little sweet baby in the back? Those of you that can just turn your heads, look at that little sweetheart. Now there's the kingdom of heaven right there. That little baby trying to talk and making noises, God considers worship, and he counts it along with brute creation as that which flows in the direction of the kingdom. What a blessing. Life is too short to fight the stars in their courses. When you're in your 20s, sure, I can bench press the universe. Oh, second law of thermodynamics, no problem. You know what? When you're 50, I tell people I'm not holy, I'm just old. You know, I want to get a t-shirt that says that. You know, I just can't run as fast as I used to run. Don't confuse holiness with old age. That's another sermon that I'm going to leave for you to figure out. Notice Jesus says the children worshiping are in agreement with brute creation. How come kids know how to worship God? How come brute creation knows how to flow in favor of the harmony of the universe in being itself and doing what it's supposed to do in righteousness? But we, God's people, are often fighting against the grain, right? We're going against the grain. When you go against the grain, you get a lot of slivers in your hand. And then we blame God. If God, if you're all loving and powerful, how come you allowed all these slivers to get in my hand? Well, quit going the wrong way. Did that ever enter into your mind? Hitting your toe with a hammer? Wow, could a God of love allow this? Oh, for heaven's sakes. He drank 2/5 of Southern Comfort a day, and the Lord took him. His little rose took from the garden to bring him to heaven. And God was lonely and needed. How about not drinking your lunch, breakfast, and dinner? You know, again, I hate to be brutally practical, but you know, that's how God has to speak to me, you know? Let's go with the flow this year. Amen? That's the point. Did you get the first sermon point? Snappy sermon point number one. The harmony principle. Okay, you got it. Let's be in league with the stones this year. Okay, but the second principle, this is interesting. This is the principle of discord. And it's about a guy named Cicero, and I call it Running with Scissors. You know, how often do you get that pun opportunity? I know. It's God deliver me from my pundage. I know. It's out of control. The second principle of discord, then we're going to talk about a guy named Sisera because we don't want to run with Siseras. This is an interesting verse from Judges chapter 5 that says, they fought from the heavens, the stars from their courses fought against Sisera. This principle is the opposite to the harmony principle. It's the discord principle, and it means Christ and all creation are united against unrighteousness. Isn't it interesting that the people rebuking the children is who Jesus shushed? The people that shushed childlikeness, Jesus shushed. Shh. Does your dad ever do that to me? I do that with my kids. I go, shh. I've got to look. I've got to shh. Look, I don't even need to say it. I just give that Dr. Evil look. Okay? Now watch who you're shushing in life. See? Because people that belong to God shush the enemy, all enemies of faith. People that don't belong to God shush childlikeness whenever they see it. You see, the kids were having fun. They were going with the flow. They were in line with the principle of harmony. They were in righteousness serving God, and there were people in the name of God who shushed them. Loved one, a religious spirit will always seek to assassinate childlikeness. You know, we do so many weird things in the name of God. I've done strange things in the name of God. I'm sure you have a list of your own. Let me just mention one of my crazy, insane things. In the early 70s, everybody was going through this phase of burning stuff that was pagan or somehow related to other religions, right? So everybody was burning everything. I mean, then they realized that some non-Christians had walked on the carpet, so we ripped the carpet out. Eventually, we had to burn the whole house down and figured we were on the wrong track at some point because we'd burn half the city to the ground. No, you know, everybody was trying to purify their home and purify their life, and they're throwing Ming Dynasty vases out the window. Which were caught by other charismatic leaders who sold them on eBay, but that's another tape. So I didn't want to be left out. I was in someone's home once. I was a teenager, and they looked to me as a spiritual authority, and they said, Craig, do you sense anything in my house that needs to be removed? And I thought, oh, my God. I didn't want to be left out. So I just sort of fixed my eyes on a beautiful wood plaque. I think it had been in the family since the time of Noah. This was like a family heirloom. And I said, throw that in the fire. The guy sort of looked at me, and I had to be invincible that I had heard from God. And he threw this family heirloom in the fireplace. So they're burning this with all good intentions. And he looks to me and he goes, are you sure that was God? And I just went, marginally. Isn't it fun? You know what it was? It wasn't God that led me to do something crazy like that, but I did something crazy in his name. Have you ever done anything crazy in his name? Stop it. You know who you are. See, these people shushing the children had a religious spirit, and so much of the body of Christ is infested with a religious spirit, and it's quenching the very childlikeness that causes us to flow in the fabric of righteousness and be in league with the stones. It's a spirit of discord. Take a look at this. Story of a guy named Sisera. He was a Canaanite king, and he thought he would destroy the people of God. Gee, I've never seen that idea before. Yeah, I told one of my children, I said, you have never had an idea that has not occurred to me first, just so that you know. I always tell my son, I've been your age, you've never been mine. I've got the best of both worlds. So listen to Daddy. I don't care how brilliant you are and you can have more degrees than a thermometer. Daddy's always going to be way older than you are, right? So I've got some insight here. Sisera, original thought, let's destroy the people of God. So he brings his iron chariots to destroy them. Get this point? He is in unrighteousness. Here's the principle of discord. It's when Christ and all creation are united against unrighteousness. Did you know Christ and his entire kingdom are against unrighteousness in word, thought, and deed? So now that's a hard ticket to bench press reality up the other way. I'm sure you can do it. I have utmost confidence in you. Buy my tape on positive confession, and I'm sure you'll be able to bench press the universe contrary to God's will. Now, I'm telling you, I know I've got confidence in you, but I don't think you can. And Sisera learned the lesson. He's got iron chariots. They're coming against the people of God. And you know what happens? The Bible says the stars in their courses oppose Sisera. And you add a little water with a little dust, and mud was produced, and the iron chariot sank under their own weight. Did you know you don't need to rebuke an iron chariot? You just need to bring a nice rainstorm on it. And you know, some of you have cities of ice in your life that are like as thick as the walls of Babylon, as high as the Tower of Babel, just solid 60-foot ice walls around you. You know, your pickaxe isn't even strong enough. Your diamond saw isn't strong enough, but God can cause the sun to rise and melt that thing into a puddle of water. That glacier can be melted, and it will cause the desert to bloom like Eden when we are in league with the stones in righteousness in our life path and in our life choices. Now, isn't God merciful for letting his son shed his blood to cover our sins? Isn't that great? I don't know how appreciative you are of the blood of Jesus, but I live every moment going, Lord, forgive me. Lord, bless me. There's not a moment I don't ask for mercy. I don't know about you. You look so holy today. Hey, I've got to walk this thing. Everything I preach, I either have lived, I'm living now, or I'm just about to live. So don't look at me in that tone of voice, you ugly thing. This is not cheap. How can I preach with such passion? Because I have fought against the stars and their courses in life. And you know what? It don't work. Save yourself a trip, baby. I tell my son, don't reinvent the wheel, sweetie. Don't reinvent the wheel. Daddy hears everything all the time, all week long, and there's nothing new under the sun unless you just did it today in space with lasers. There's nothing new under the sun. You'll never shock me. But Sisera learned the lesson everyone throughout the ages has learned that decides in word, thought, and deed to be unrighteous. It's a sin against the very fabric of the universe. Of course, things don't flow. You know, have you ever had a time where you go, you know, things just aren't flowing in my life? Well, Sisera had somewhat that feeling because the Bible says the stars in their courses were against him. Boy, that's going to, even a cup of coffee at Starbucks can't pep you out of that one. What's wrong? What's wrong, honey? I don't know. The stars in their courses are fighting me. You know why? Because they were discordant. Now, an example I have is a man named Achan in Joshua 7:25. Achan was the man that went into Jericho, the first city that had been destroyed over the Jordan. When the children of Israel came through the Jordan River, they came to a city called Jericho. God said to them, you know, this city's the first, like a tenth, the tithe. Don't touch this. It all belongs to me. So a guy named Achan goes, great. And he goes in, takes a wedge of gold, wedge of silver, and steals a Babylon garment. He takes like a Rolex, a Tiffany bracelet, and an Armani. What's the big deal, right? Oh, come on, God. Jeez. Only problem is, Achan, by touching what was in the city of Jericho, had been destined for destruction. When you align yourself with things that are destined for destruction, you're going to be destroyed. When you align, if you're standing behind a tree and 45 people are going to shoot arrows at that specific tree to a specific target, and you just stick your old chest right up behind that and hug up on that tree, guess what? I know it's a shocking miracle, but when they release those bows, that little guy in Lord of the Rings that just couldn't hold the bow, you know, there's always a guy like that that releases too soon. Well, you know, you don't need to fear if you're not aligned with the target. You know, lovely t-shirt they gave me. Where do you want me to stand? Right in front of this tree? Okay, am I okay? Forward? You know what? Achan aligned himself by taking that gold and silver and garment. It wasn't so much the nature of the sin. It's that he aligned himself in his life with people, places, and things that were destined for destruction. When we do that, we'll find that mystery of all mysteries, you fall under the ban that destroyed thing was just about to have. Let's not align ourselves with destructive things this year. Amen? Let's just stand in league with the stones and in the principle of harmony and let our words, thoughts, and deeds and our life choices and our life path be the right one, and God's sun will shine upon all our ways. But Sisera, he's always there running with Siseras. Remember, don't run with Siseras. Not this year. This year is the time to stop fighting the fabric of God's created order and get in sync with it. We do that first by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. That stops the war that's been going on between our will and the will of God. Isn't that delicious? The first step is accepting Jesus Christ. That settles the peace with God issue. So you're right in sync now. Now you're in flow with God's redemptive plan for the whole universe. Wise place to be, little Forrest Gump feather. Get in the right breeze. blow in the right direction. By accepting Jesus, there's no more war with God, the Father. That's settled. And then as we grow in His path and we yield daily to His Holy Spirit, we begin to move in sync with righteousness and our secret history with God in the long term. As we sow in the direction of the league, in being in league with the stones, we gain long-term benefits of fruitfulness serving God. I'm not saying you won't have hard times. There are Christians being tortured right now in prison cells around the world because they dare name the name of Jesus, and God bless them. And they have nothing with regard to the things of this world, but they have a secret history with God. They're in league with the stones, and one day that day will reveal, Jesus said, that they named Him in public, Christ will name them and stand up. And yet the discordant principle this year, don't align yourself with things that are going to be destroyed. Don't align yourself with people, places, and things and relationships. I mean, if you knew a certain house was going to be bombed at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, would you move all of your extended family into the house and bring them into the target zone? Or would you get as far away as you could so that when that bomb goes off, you can't say, well, I didn't see that coming. You know, I've said that so many times in my life. I didn't see that coming. Yeah, Craig, you just aligned yourself with it, painted the bullseye on your own head, and then posed. Let's not do that. Sisera, what is the basic discord summary? We are no match for the stars in their courses. You know what? It's time to go with the flow. And this year, it's being in league with the stones. So your words are important. Your thoughts and decisions are important, because what they do is they're either putting us in sync with God in the flow of His will, or it's setting us against the grain of the universe. And you can't win that fight. So let's just say uncle and submit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the encouragement that this year is going to be new. Thank You that we can build a secret history with You where we are in sync with the very fabric of the universe, and we're not fighting against the very will of God. Lord, we don't want to fight the stars and the courses. We just confess we're no match for Christ and His creation. We want to flow with Christ and His creation. And Lord, we receive Him right now, and we surrender as Christians even today our will. We surrender it again at Your altar. And we ask You, Lord, to cleanse our lives and bring us to the place You want us to be. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Can you give the Lord some praise there for a minute?